Welcome to The Radical Word, the chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Lancaster, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, French Valley. Open your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so that the Word of God can do a radical work in you.
Now, this is an exciting thing for me because I love God's Word. That's one of the things God imparted to me really early on in my faith was even before I was saved, I started reading the Bible. And frankly, I think it's the thing that God used most fully to get my attention, to get me to that place where I received Him. Now, I've made a career out of handling God's Word, out of studying it and giving it out any way that I can. I teach it. We broadcast it on the radio. It goes up on the internet. I have written a couple of devotional books. I just love God's Word, and so everything I do in my life is focused around the Word of God. I would describe my life mission. I do describe my life mission as sharing the Word of God with the people of God by the Spirit of God. I believe that's why God put me, Rick Lancaster, on the earth, is to do those very things. The church has a different mission, if you will, but that's my personal ministry that I believe that God's called me to. And so it probably wouldn't surprise you that I spend a significant portion of my time handling and studying and reading and preparing messages around God's Word. And not only that, I disciple people around God's Word. It just, my whole life seems to be around the Word of God. One of the great desires of my life is that others would get to know how I love God's Word and they would learn to love God's Word the way that I do. One of the foundational verses that describes the ministry that I believe that God has called me to is 2 Timothy 2:2. It says, Paul, speaking to his disciple Timothy, says, "The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." I believe part of what God's called me to do is to raise up people that know how to handle the Word of God. Now, that's not why you're here. We're approaching this from a different vantage point, but I believe at all stages that one of my goals is to teach people to love God's Word, and then what to do with it. You know, it's not just about reading it, not just about even loving it, not just having the Bible. You know, having a Bible is great, but why do we have it? What purpose does it serve life? What we should do with it? How we should use it? And so my goal in this study is to share with you what God has been teaching me for about probably the last 15 years that I think I've been actively involved in some form of teaching. I've been saved. Next month will make 19 years, and it makes probably longer than that. I was teaching probably within 2 years of getting saved, that God had started doing a work in me right from the very beginning. And I just wanted to share with you real quick. This is the very first class I've ever taken on how to study the Bible. So I say that because I never got this. I learned how to study the Bible by just getting into it and working with it. I had a lot of people around me that helped me and would coach me, but I never got any direction. I never took a class. I am not seminary trained. I'm one of those guys that rose up through the ranks. And so I learned how to do it. And what I'm going to share with you, which is, you know, 15, 16 years worth of experience, I'm going to share with you what God taught me about how to study the Bible in a way that I hope that all of us could benefit from. Anyone at any level could benefit from learning how to study the Bible. And so I'm hoping that you will get a love for God's Word, and I'm praying that out of this group and things like this, because we're recording this, because we're hoping to share it with others, that others would get a love for God's Word, and that God might stir up some teachers that would be able to reach further than I can. I can reach a certain number of people, but I believe God's called me to disciple some so that they can reach further than I can. And so that's part of my prayer, is that's what, one of the things that comes out of this. And both women and men and women both can grow to that point of teaching. So before we get started, let's take a moment and kind of just ask God to minister to our hearts
about His Word. So we'll pray again. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to get into this time of studying about Your Word, about this thing we call the Bible, and other names, scriptures, other names that we put onto it. But Lord God, ultimately, it is Your revelation of Yourself to us. And we thank You for it, Lord God. Because of it, we get to know You, and we can get to know You in such a way that we can interact with You in a way that blesses our lives and helps us to enjoy the fullness of this life that You've called us to. So we thank You. We ask You, Lord, open our hearts to receive all You have for us, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Tonight, it's going to be mostly preparation tonight. We're going to get into the really, really, I was going to say good stuff, but this should be some good stuff today, too. We're going to get into some of the more practical Bible study stuff next week. But we're going to do some preparation stuff today because, you know, anything that's worth doing needs preparation. Doesn't matter what you do. If you're building something, you got to get the materials, you got to get the tools, you got to get the plans. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to do some preparing for the next 5 weeks. Let's start with some basics. We'll cover a lot of basics. The first thing is the word Bible. You know, we know Bible. You know, the Bible is His book. Well, the word Bible comes from the Greek word biblion and means book. So this book that we call the Holy Bible is, in essence, the Holy Bible. It was first called that, at least the oldest reference that can be found referring it to as the Holy Bible dates to the Middle Ages. And its first appearance in print was on the Authorized Version, also known as the King James Version. You guys know what that is? That's the one that, you know, the these and the thous. Oh, you have a King James? Right on. It's always good to have a couple of those around. The very first Bible I got, by the way, was a King James Bible that I stole out of a motel room. So technically, I don't think you can steal them because I think they want you to take them. But I do have a King James. I keep it in my office to remind me of the path that God put me on. The Bible is the most remarkable book ever written. And oh, we could spend the whole night just talking about what God did to bring this book together, how he has preserved it for thousands of years when it is literally under attack almost continuously. People have tried to destroy it, to eradicate it, and yet no matter what anyone does, the Bible remains, and not only remains, it grows. There are places in the country where, or in the world, where the Bible is illegal. It's an illegal document. If you're caught with a Bible, you can go to jail. And places like China, the Christian church over there is pretty active, and yet there's not a lot of Bibles. And so often they'll share Bibles. We even hear reports of them taking a Bible and tearing it up into sections. And then sharing it around. When they'll read it, and then they'll pass that section on to someone else and share a Bible around so they all have a piece of the Word of God. You know, and we got to think about that because most of us, I don't know about you, I've got probably about, well, I'm probably weird. I probably have about 25 Bibles of different themes and variations and types. And not to mention, you know, if you have a smartphone, you have access to every translation of the Bible that's ever been written on your phone. The Bible is everywhere. Remarkable book. But its main reason for being remarkable is because it was written by God Himself. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for the man of God, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In fact, the Bible is not actually a book. It would be better described as a library. It is a collection of things that we often refer to as books, though many of them weren't originally written in book form. They were letter form. 66, what we refer to as books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. We're going to talk about what the different types of books are. We'll talk about that next week. They were written by 40 different authors, about 40 different authors in three different languages over a period of about 1,500 years. And one of the remarkable things about it, even though it was written over such a broad span of time by absolutely radically different authors, there is still this cohesive unity of the Bible that has never been honestly contested. All the critics, they'll claim how it isn't what, you know, we claim it is, but they've never been able to disprove the absolute unity of the Bible. Even the so-called contradictions of the Bible are not contradictions at all. They're misunderstandings, typically, by the critics. The Bible covers about 4,500 years of history, from the creation of everything to the death of the last apostle, the Apostle John, in about 100 A.D. And so, like I said, next week I'm going to talk about the different types of Bibles. I'm talking about different books. I'm also going to talk about translations next week. If you have questions later on, we can talk about that. There's a lot of different translations. We're going to talk about some of that next week. Can't get into it too much because there's hundreds of them. But we're going to talk about this different thing. One of the reasons we're going to talk about the different types of books is because we study different types of books differently. There are history books, there are letters, there are gospels, and when we study them, we need to study them based on the type of book that they are. But like I said, we'll talk about that as we go on. So, the question is, why study the Bible? Why should we do it? Let me ask a question. Have any of you actually gone through something like this before, a course? Anybody gone through a course? A couple. Okay, good. The rest of you were like me years ago. I pulled this from one of the books, resources I gathered for this study. Robert West's book, How to Study the Bible. I've got like five books that have the title, How to Study the Bible, by different authors. So there's a lot of them out there. Some of them are good. Some of them, yeah. But Robert West's book has the top 10 reasons for personal Bible study, and I liked it, and I liked the way he wrote this. First reason, to settle the issue of our own salvation. One of the things we need to absolutely know is the reality and the absolute certainty of our salvation. And one of the ways we do that, and lots of ways that we can do that, one of the ways that we can do it from a personal standpoint is to read it and to study and understand it ourselves in Scripture. And the more intimate we become with God's Word, the more secure I am in my salvation. I don't have questions and doubts and wondering about this thing or that, you know, and I deal with people that struggle with that because they're just not sure. And, I did this. Does that mean I'm not saved? I feel this. Does that mean, and they have these questions and these fears and these doubts. And what I found after my years of study, the more I study, the less of those kinds of things I have. I am more and more confident in my faith the more I know God's Word. The second reason, to grow spiritually. Just like babies when they're born, they need milk, right? We know that. We all know our biology enough to know that. They need milk. And us as Christians, we're the same way. We need the Word of God. It is the milk that helps us to grow. But a baby can't live on milk forever, right? A baby that's on milk forever, at some point they stop developing and they become unhealthy. They don't flourish and grow. They need solid food. And so to continue to grow, they need solid food. Not only that, but they need to learn how to feed themselves. And so studying the Bible, what the studying the Bible is about feeding yourself. It's good to come to church and to let someone like me share what God has been sharing with me because I've got a little bit of experience. Maybe God's going to say something to me in a special way that will minister to you in some kind of a way. But you don't need me. I might end up with nobody at church on next Sunday, but wait a minute. You don't need me. We ought to be in a place where if all of a sudden we found ourselves in a place where we did not have somebody to teach us, that we could minister to ourselves through the Word of God. We ought to be able to do that. The third reason, to receive personal blessing and encouragement. God can and does bless us through the teaching of others. No question about that. I regularly listen to other people teach, and I'm blessed every time I do it. But God has a personal word for you. One that he wants to say to you directly and personally. And he's going to do that when we study the Word for ourselves. Fourth reason, to receive personal guidance. This is not an exaggeration. It is not hyperbole that the Bible has the answer for all of the issues of life, all of them. There's no issue in life that the Bible doesn't have an answer for. Now, you can ask me some weird, bizarre question after we're done. I'm still going to tell you that the Bible has an answer for it, and probably is don't ask weird, stupid questions. But that's another message entirely. Don't make me take you to Proverbs. The better you know the Bible, the better you understand what the Bible says, the less you are going to need others to give you guidance. Now you always will have a need for others. God will never allow us to be absolutely independent of others, but we should be less dependent upon others as we grow in our faith. And so there ought to be this, as we grow in our faith, this reality that we don't need guidance. We're getting guidance directly from God through His Word. I know what God wants. I know what He expects. I know what He wants me to do next because it says so in His Word, or He says to through His Spirit. The fifth reason, to defend ourselves against the devil. Satan's number one attack. Who knows what Satan's number one attack is against believers? Deception. Lie. He lies. He is the father of lies. And the only way to defend ourselves against him is to know the truth so well that the lie is apparent to us when we hear it, when we see it. You'll know this happens. You know, if you ever, you know, and I get a chance to travel around occasionally and get to some other churches. I tend to stay in Calvary Chapels because they're usually pretty safe. But every now and then you'll listen to somebody and think, what did he just say? I'm not so sure. Or you listen to somebody else talking and they'll say something very spiritual, it sounds, but something in you says, you know what, I'm not so sure. I'm not sure if that's right. That's one of the things that God wants to do in us, and we do it through the Word of God. You may not be able to give chapter and verse why you don't think it's right, but something in you tells you, you know what, I don't think that's right. And that's one of the things that the Word, studying the Word of God can do for us. The better you know God's Word, the less likely we are to fall for the lie of the devil. Sixth reason, to effectively teach God's truth to the next generation. Oh, wait a minute, I'm not called to be a teacher. You may not be called to stand up in front of a group of people and teach them the Bible, but all of us are called to be involved in the work of discipleship. When Jesus called out the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he said, go and make disciples. Was that to all people that were ordained as pastors and ministers of the gospel? Nope. That was to anyone that would call themselves a disciple of Jesus Christ. A follower of Jesus Christ is called to be involved in the work of the ministry. Is it getting cold in here? Would you reach up there and touch that up button about three times, please? There we go. You know, before I taught the first Bible study that I taught, I was young in the faith, and I talked to the guy that was leading the Bible study that I was in at the time, and I said to him, I feel like God's, you know, calling me to start a Bible study and to teach the Bible. And this particular Bible study leader said, oh, no, you won't. Yeah, you are not ready for that. You are not prepared for that. And I said, oh, okay. You know, I thought I was hearing from God. And this guy said, no, no, no. And so I prayed about it. And I couldn't get out of my heart. I couldn't get out of my heart. I couldn't get out of my head. I just felt this almost a need within me to do it. And I ultimately realized that's exactly what God had done. He'd put a need in me to teach God's Word. And so I talked to another friend, and I said, I just really feel like God's telling me to do this, you know. And I asked him, what gives me the right? I mean, I'm a relatively new believer. What gives me the right to teach these guys? It was going to be a men's Bible study. What gives me the right to teach these guys about the Bible? And he says, you're not going to teach them nothing. Your job is to be the best student you can possibly be and just share with them what God is teaching you. I can do that. And he says, the Holy Spirit does the teaching. You just share with them what God's teaching you. And I've done that ever since. Seventh reason, to be able to counsel others. Remember back, I think it was number four, it says to receive guidance from God. There's a point where we need to give guidance to others. You know, it's not talking about formal counseling. You know, I'm talking about pastoral counseling or anything like that. For most of it, it's going to be the normal course of your life. And we all interact with people that have issues, right? Anybody here that knows somebody that doesn't have any issues at all in their life, except Mike? You know, all of us know somebody that doesn't have, we all know people, and they all have issues. They all have stuff. They all have junk that they're dragging around with them, and they're looking for answers. And every now and then, they'll ask you, you know, this is what's going on, or they're complaining, they're moaning, they're grumbling about something, and what they need is guidance. They need somebody to tell them what God's Word says about these things. And most, sadly, most people share what they think is right without knowing what God's Word says about the issue. Now, all the time I get people coming into my office telling me that so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. This is what I'm thinking about doing because this person told me to do that. And I'm thinking, oh, no, 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 no. Please don't go do that. It'll ruin you. And they're getting what they think is good advice. And the only way you know, the only way you can give good counsel to others, you know what God's Word says. And so that's one of the reasons why we study the Bible. Eighth reason, to be ready to speak to unbelievers about Christ. You know, one of the most common reasons why someone comes to me and says why they don't share Christ with others is they don't know enough. Okay, that's kind of a cop-out if you think about it. The Bible is here. We all have the Bible available to us. And you're going to see as we go through this, it's a lot easier to study it than many of us probably are aware of. Ninth reason, to verify that the teaching of others is the truth of God. Did you know that that's your responsibility? To make sure that when somebody like me stands up in front of you, that what they're teaching is the truth. And I'll tell you for one, personally, if you've got a teacher that is unwilling to be questioned about his teaching, examined about his teaching, watch out. Watch out. You can come to me if you have an issue with something I say. If you disagree with something I say, if you think I've said something wrong or said something that is out of alignment with God's Word, you come see me. I have no fear of that. Doesn't mean I'm going to agree with you, but I have no fear of it because, you know, I pray, I ask God, please don't ever let me make a mistake. Don't, not even one mistake. But I'm a man. I'm not perfect. But we ought to know there are false teachers out there. There are people out there that are lying to their congregation. You know, I would hope that they don't know that. Sadly, I'm thinking that some of them probably do, and they would not want to be them when they stand before Jesus. The tenth and last reason is to present ourselves approved to God. It is not the pastor's job. It's not the Bible study leader's job. It's not your parents' job to grow your faith. It's not your spouse's job to grow your faith. It's your job. You need to grow your own faith. Paul said, exercise yourself toward godliness. Not exercise your family. You should exercise them too, but you need to exercise yourself. Now, who should study the Bible? Well, we study why. Now, who should study the Bible? The simple answer is everyone. Everyone should. But the reality is not everyone will. Why? Because Bible study is work. It's not easy. It's not simple. It's going to require discipline and probably, at least to a small degree, sacrifice. You're going to have to give something else up so that you can study your Bible. Now, the Bible was written by God to reveal himself to his creation. You know, God reveals himself lots of different ways. He reveals himself to us in nature. We see him in the heavens. We see him in his glory. But that's only a fraction of his revelation. We see, you know, when Jesus on the earth, that was the greatest revelation of God. But, you know, we don't get to see Jesus face to face. And so what we have, all that we have to see the full revelation of God, the full revelation that he's given us, is his word. And so for us to get, you know, to get to know God better, we need to get to know the book that he wrote to us that tells us about him. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, one of my favorite verses in all of the scriptures. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in knowledge of God, in the knowledge of God, that's getting to know God, and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'll give you an illustration. The Bible is like a mountain. Hidden within this mountain are, as that text says, great and precious promises that are intended for us. But many of them have to be dug out. Casual reading of the Bible is good, and you need to do it. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And doing that may reveal a few nuggets laying around on the surface. If you sit with a good teacher, you know, listening to sermons, that may reveal treasures that he has dug out. Some of them may be good for you. The Bible describes God's word as living and powerful. And God has promised to us special things. But we have to be willing to get down into the dirt, if you will, and dig them out. We have to learn to study the Bible. And so this series is on how to study the Bible. And in the course of this, I'm going to share some different techniques. I'm going to tell you about some of the standard techniques. I'm going to tell you how I do it. If you're familiar with Bible study at all, there's inductive Bible study. There's expository Bible study. There's devotional Bible study. There's several different what we refer to as methods of Bible study. I'm going to define those more in depth later on. There is no one perfect style of Bible study. Each of us needs to find one that fits us, where we are in our faith, where we are in life, and what we have the time to be able to do. Not all of us has, you know, like me, you know, I can spend 8, 9, 10 hours a day studying my Bible. Okay, you may not be able to do that. Anybody able to do? No, never mind. Do we might get you teaching somewhere? And we need to start at a pace that we can maintain. So I tell people, don't try to be me. You know, I get paid to study the Bible. You know, which is kind of a cool thing. You know, start at a pace that you can actually keep up. It's like with anything else that we do. You know, like, you know, exercise. You know, I'm going to start exercising. And so, you know, you start day one, you run 12 miles, you do 1,000 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and, you know, in 30 seconds. And you do all these things. And, you know, you're going to do that every single day for, you know, 644 days. You know, we all know how that goes. On day three, you know, I got a hangnail. I can't do it today. We need to start at a pace that we can maintain. And so I'm gonna start this thing kind of slow on how we do it. I'm gonna start it kind of slow, and then I'm gonna ramp it up as we go, adding elements to it as we go, so that you can find the place where you find that place. Okay, this is as far as I can go. I can do this far, and then later on you add more elements, you add more apps, if you will, to it as you go. And as you do that, your depth and your knowledge and your studying will grow and grow and grow. So Bible study is just like faith. It is not a sprint. It's a marathon. We've got to be ready to do it for the long haul. If your idea of studying the Bible is, you know, and I'm going to study it 3 days in the next month, and that's going to be it for me, okay, you're going to get about 3 days worth out of it. You know, it's like anything else. We need to be willing to spend the time. This book, I have been studying it faithfully for about 15 years, almost constantly for 15 years, and I am just scratching the surface of it. You know, every time I study a book, and I run out of time. I don't have enough time to study it as deep as I want to. I'm looking forward to finishing teaching through the Bible so I can go back and hit some of the stuff that I've missed. There's so much to it. It's so deep. It's so rich. It's so full. You know, remember, it's describing God to us. How big is God? How amazing is God? Reality, we can, and if you get into a pattern of this, you will study the Bible for the rest of your life. And you will never run out of things to study. You'll never run out of things you can discover. You'll never run out of new revelation, not new revelation, but revelation that he's revealed to us through his word. and see how things connect and interact and how they fit together and mesh together. And it'll become richer and deeper and more beautiful the more you do it. Amazing, amazing stuff. And just like a marathon, you need to be prepared. You need to get ready to do the work. Good Bible study begins with good preparation. Proverbs 16:1 says, "The preparations of the heart belong to man." It's up to us to do the preparations. God will not do for us what he's already told us that we need to do for ourselves. Someone has said that God will not do by miracle what he's told us to do by obedience. If he's telling us we need to get ourselves ready, he's not going to do that for us. And if we want to have any, if we want to be effective, we want to do a good job, we want to actually get anything out of studying the Bible, we need to prepare ourselves. So I'm going to give you some things to prepare yourself so that you have a better experience with your Bible study. First thing, I'm going to give you four things. First thing, pray. Pray. You can never underestimate the need for prayer in Bible study. This is not just a pastor thing. This is not just something we have to say if we want to, you know, get full credit for our presentation. It's nothing like that. We know that prayer, it's a spiritual activity. And if you're not starting it in a spiritual tone, you're never going to get anywhere. This is true when you read your Bible too, not just studying, but reading your Bible. It's always good to pray before you do that. I'm going to give you a few things that you ought to pray for, specifically as we're studying our Bible. Very first thing, you probably don't think of this first, but the very first thing you ought to pray for before you study your Bible is repentance. If there's sin in your life that you haven't repented of, I can tell you, you're not going to get very much out of your study. It's going to block that. It's going to prevent you from doing that. If God has revealed sin to you and you haven't repented of it, you need to do that before you study. Otherwise, you're just not going to get anywhere. So, repent. Second thing, pray for protection. Bible study is a spiritual activity. It's a spiritual experience. It's you getting to know your God and what he's intended for you in this world. And Satan is going to try to block you. He's going to try to hinder you. He's going to try to get in the way. He's going to try to distract you. Weird stuff might just start happening. You know, the dog starts throwing up on the carpet all of a sudden. Weird stuff happens. Pray against it. Third thing, wisdom. Wisdom. Human wisdom cannot understand God or his word. It's not possible. Human wisdom cannot do it. And so we need God's wisdom. We need God to give us his wisdom so that we can get it. I mean, that wisdom that is from above, as James would say. Second way to prepare is place and time. You need the right place and you need the right amount of time. You need to find yourself a quiet place where you can be undisturbed for some period of time. And you need to set a time. Make an appointment with yourself for, you know, however much time you've got, whether it be 15 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever you can afford, whatever you can fit into your schedule. So that you can be faithful to it, you need to make an appointment with yourself. You know, if you're a morning person, you probably ought to do it in the morning. If you're an evening person, you probably ought to do it in the evening. If you're a couple, you know, if you can do it together, that's fantastic. If you need to, you know, do it separately so you corral the, you know, the minions as they're running around, you know, so the other one can study, then you do whatever you have to do so that you can actually find yourself the time. And I would encourage you, husbands, make sure your wives have the time. You're the spiritual leader. One of the things that you're responsible for is the spiritual well-being of your wife. You ought to make sure that she has the time and the place to do that. Matter of fact, you ought to take responsibility and ask her about it. Have you had time with the Lord? Amen? Third way to prepare. Read your Bible. That is so important. You know, we're talking about studying the Bible. Yes, but you need to be regularly reading your Bible. The daily Bible reading provides the raw materials you need to study the Word of God. You need to read it on a regular basis, feeding your soul the Word of God regularly, daily, so that when you get into that time of study, it already has some of the information you're going to be looking for already in you. There are tons of reading programs. There are even apps. I went on to my app store and found a dozen reading programs just with a simple glance. So I'm guessing Apple's probably got as many. That, you know, just different reading programs you can do online. There are a number of websites you can go to. They have reading plans. I personally, I'm going to talk about these daily Bibles here later. You know, these one-year Bibles allow you to read the Bible in a year. They're Bibles that are divided up into 365 daily readings. You go to February 28th, and you read what it says. If you go to February 29th, you're not going to find anything. But that's all right. It only happens once every 4 years. Just read February 28th twice. Or take a day off if you have to, or read something out of Psalms or something. One of the things that God imparted to me really early on was the need to be reading through the Bible. And I have read through the Bible at least once a year for the last 18 years. And I am right now, I am about probably less than 30 days away from finishing again. And then when I'm done with that, I'm going to pick out one of these over here and I'm going to start again. And I keep doing it. I pick different translations. I take different formats and I just keep reading and reading and reading. And I am convinced it is one of the reasons why God uses me the way that he does, because I just keep pouring it in. It's a natural part of my life now. It's what I do in the morning. I get up, I get a cup of coffee, I sit down, I read my Bible. And I have gotten to the point now where nothing gets in the way of that. And if something does get in the way of that, it's pretty rare. And if I can, I'll usually try to catch it the next day, but I'm not religious about it. I do it because I love it. And God speaks to me. I've read it a lot. I've studied it a lot. And yet every single day, God speaks to me. Read it. The fourth way to prepare, memorize Scripture. Memorize Scripture. The very first verse that I memorized was Psalm 119:11. It says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you," which just so happens to be a verse about memorizing Scripture. By doing this for many years, my study time is much richer. It is amazing to me how verses just pop into my mind. I'm talking to someone, and they're saying something, and I know God has something to say to them, and a verse just pops into my mind. And it's because I've taken the time to study it. I've taken the time to read it. I've taken the time to memorize it. Now, all of this raw material is in me. When I'm preparing my messages, you know, often those you know, you hear me quoting Scripture. I'll reference other Scripture. At least half of those come out of my mind. Some of them come out of other places, but at least half of them come out of my mind. They've been fed in there by my regular reading and my study and my memorizing, and so the Holy Spirit has them to bring them out as I need them. And that's what you'll find as you study your Scripture, as you read your Bible, and you're memorizing Scripture as you're reading. Or as you're doing something, these verses will just pop into your mind. You'll be thinking, or you're struggling with something maybe, and a verse will pop into your mind, and you'll take comfort from it. You'll take strength from it. Memorize Scripture. You know, for me, as I study all of these things that I've done over the years, understanding of what I'm studying comes more quickly now than it used to, because I have more stuff in there that I've studied, that I've read, that I've memorized. And so now when I study, I understand things more clearly. It's not because I'm smart. It's just because I've just been diligent. I keep doing it over and over and over again. Like anything else, I'm just getting some of it. You know, some of it's sticking because I keep trying to do it. If you prepare well, doing those four things, and you're consistent about it, you're going to discover some of the great and precious promises that are promised to us in the Scripture. Very personal things. All of us probably can quote, hopefully can quote our own favorite verse. You know, and I'm telling you that if you get in there, you're going to find, ooh, I didn't know that one was there. And you'll start discovering more and more and more. And those promises that are in there for you will encourage you, they'll strengthen you, they'll comfort you. They'll bless your life and they'll bless the lives of others around you. So I want to do a quick overview of the next five sessions, and then I'm going to give you some homework. Yay! This week was preparation. Next week is examination. And in that section, it answers the question, what method of Bible study do I use? We're going to examine the different kinds of books. We're going to examine the different kinds of Bible studies. And we're going to try to figure out which ones fit best. We're going to talk about how the Bible is laid out and how different books of the Bible need to be studied differently than other books. You study a history book differently than you would the book of Revelation, which is unique in all of Scripture. It has a special way of being studied versus all the rest of them. Week three, observation, and it answers the question, what does the text we are studying say? What does it say? Every word in the Bible was written by someone, for a reason. And so the very first thing we need to figure out what that is. Who wrote it, who they wrote it to, why they wrote it, and what were they hoping to accomplish? Week four, which is the one people like to really jump to, but it's always a mistake to go to week four before you go through weeks two and three, is interpretation. And it answers the question, what does it mean? You ever read a scripture and say, I have no idea what that means? Anybody besides me? I still do it every week. What in the world does that mean? I still do it. You know, I'm reading and I'm thinking, I have no idea what that means. Someday I'll study that. When God originally wrote it, he did it with one intended meaning, just one. And that's what interpretation is about, discovering what God meant. Now, not what it means to me. What does it mean to God? When God originally said it, he had one meaning. And it's for us to discover what that meaning is. That's what Bible study is all about. Week five is the one that relates directly to us. It's application. It answers the question, what does it mean to me, or how does it apply to my life? Because out of Scripture, we can pull application off every page of the Bible. But we have to go through the other steps, because if you don't go through the other steps, application can be misapplied. We can misapply Scripture. People do it all the time. People take Scriptures out of context and say, this is what it means, this is how I'm going to use it, and the problem is it doesn't mean what they say. It doesn't mean how they're applying it. And so we have to understand, what did God mean when he originally said it? Who was he writing to? Why did he write it? And what did he mean when he said it? If I know what it meant, then I can know how to apply it, because the way I apply it can't contradict what he meant. They can't contradict one another. I'll have examples of that once we get to it. You'll understand it better. And then week six is information. And we're going to wrap up the series by looking at some of the thousands, I'm not going to bring out thousands, but there are thousands of resources available to us to study the Bible. I'm going to show you a few of them every week to give you an idea of some of the ones that are available to you. And some of them I'm going to suggest, if you're going to get serious about studying the Bible, you need to own them. The rest of them, a lot of them you can get online. You can go online and get a lot of the information. But there's a few I'm going to say, you know, you really need to have this one, and because you really can't get this information easily online. So I'm going to show you those things as we go. I'm going to make some of them available to you. I have some access to resources, allow me to get them at a discounted price. And so if I can give you a discounted price for them, I'm going to try to pass that along to you. I'm not trying to make a buck here. Matter of fact, all of our resources are sold at cost. We don't make any money on our resources. If you want to give us extra, make the check out to Kelly. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, and so every week I'm going to give you some homework. And the idea is that, you know, we're here to learn how to study the Bible. The best way to do that is by doing it. Now, this is not mandatory, okay? So you kids, don't freak out, okay? You don't have to do this. I know you already got homework. And some of you big kids either. You need to do it. So you probably don't have a choice. So I'm going to give you this homework, and I'm going to help you to figure this thing out. And if you want to get on this journey, and I'm telling you, it is a radical, exciting journey to learn how to study God's Word. We're going to go through the first epistle of John, 1 John. Relatively short, 5 chapters. I didn't count how many verses, but it's relatively short. And we're going to go through that and study it together. And I'm going to show you how I would study the book of 1 John. I've never studied 1 John, so I'm going through it just like you guys are. I'll be studying it right along with you.
Thank you for listening to The Radical Word. If you would like to get a copy of this message or this whole series, go to www.radicalword.com. To get more information about Calvary Chapel French Valley, go to www.calvaryfv.com. You can also reach us by phone at 951-600-3845. If you're in the Murrieta area, we would be blessed to have you join us at one of our services or Bible studies.
This is Pastor Rick. The Bible teaches that Jesus, God the Son, came and walked on this earth. He lived a perfect life and then died for the sins of the world, including mine and yours. By believing that and accepting that Christ's sacrifice was for your sins, the Bible says you will be saved. Why not do that right now, right where you are? Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Jesus, I need something radical to happen in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life. Thank you for dying for me and giving me the hope of heaven. Help me to live a radical life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com so we can pray for you by name and send you some information to help you with your walk with Jesus. God bless you.